This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Welcome to 2022.
Exactly. We're back from a three-week hiatus, I guess?
Three weeks
for me.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
I took an extra day off. So yes, great. Welcome to 2022.
Happy New Year.
Great. Exactly.
I can't complain.
Get rid of 2021, that's for sure.
Yeah, good riddance. Yeah.
So you can't complain because no one will listen, or you have
pretty
nothing
much
to complain about.
That's pretty much, yeah. No, nobody cares. So, but no, it's we're already more than a week into the new year.
Yeah,
I mean, it just started.
Yeah.
Next Saturday we'll be halfway through January,
and so on.
It's yeah. Time just flies.
Yeah, when we get old, that's what happens.
Unfortunately. Let's see. What do we have going on?
Wait a minute. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, but did you see the sky this morning?
It was dark.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if I saw the sky this morning. I did not see 39% of the waxing crescent moon this morning.
I saw it last evening. It was very pretty last night.
The last few nights, the sliver of a moon.
Very pretty.
But it was... it was wet out here. The parking structure has water on its roof.
Yeah,
it was very
wet.
Dry at my house. Did you have any moisture?
There was some because there was water in the gutter, and all my sprinklers are shut off, so it was condensed. It wasn't gushing out or anything, but when it gets damp on the patio, it'll condense and run down the drain.
Doesn't that mean your pool's overflowing?
No, the pool's not overflowing.
Okay, good. Yeah. We're supposed to have a nice weekend and then an unsettled weather pattern for the week with a mix of clouds and sun and chances of some moisture and precipitation during the week.
Well, that's good because I purchased another bag of fertilizer before I left last night in preparation of unsettled weather.
Well, they say that they have no indication of any heavy precipitation events through the middle of the month, which, according to your advanced calculations, Ken, would be next week.
For those following on your calendar.
I thought I heard something on the news that there's another atmospheric river making its way towards us.
Well, I kind of hope so. But they're saying at least not in the southern half of the state through next week.
But we're
going to have an unsettled weather pattern because there's a low pressure system coming down. Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. But to your point about it being a nice weekend, the last two or three days have been spectacular.
I know.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Once it warmed up.
And we've been very busy because of that. Well, there's tons of folks coming in.
Day before yesterday, pruning roses, it was a little on the dry side and I was a little concerned about the roses. But yesterday in the afternoon, the air came on shore and it cooled down and we got some overcast. It totally changed in time for the rose pruning. So,
in fact, Ken, you had commented that you thought it was getting, thought there was a fire. It got so cloudy so quickly.
Yeah. When I drove into work yesterday morning, it was so hazy all around Scripps Ranch. I thought that there was a fire burning somewhere.
The temperature dropped outside while we were working.
Tuesday morning when I came into work, there was a plume of smoke coming up just below us, and it scared me. It looked like a fire, and it was that generator on the truck in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
But it was smoke. I mean, it looked like smoke, not exhaust, and oh. I thought it was on fire. I guess it wasn't, but it kind of concerned me when I pulled in, and there was this plume of smoke coming up.
That would be concerning.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, okay, now you can get on to the business at hand.
All right. Classes are back on for the new year. And to kick off the new year, both stores are having bare root fruit tree classes San Diego's at 9 o'clock, and Kurt Peacock is going to be there teaching that class, and 9:30 in Poway, and Tyler Trimble's going to be from Backyard Fruit. Is that
Backyard Fruit San Diego? Backyard, we were having this.
We had this issue. Yeah. Backyard Fruit.
Yeah. So he's going to, those two guys, very, very knowledgeable people, will be teaching the class. And then as soon as the class is over, you want to run out to the bare root section and pick out the plants that you want, because they are going very quickly. As of yesterday, between the two stores, we had sold 2,000 fruit trees.
Wow.
And we only,
that's just since the 27th. We got them on the 27th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and then you figured that's when we got them.
Right.
We certainly didn't put them out immediately.
Price will put them out, yeah.
And some varieties are already sold out.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll go over some of those a little bit later. Let's see. Next weekend, it's going to be winter veggies with Josh in San Diego at 9 o'clock. And at 9:30, it's going to be rose planting with Celeste from EB Stone. What's her last name now? Burns?
I almost said the wrong one.
Yeah. I think it's Burns now. So,
great speaker.
Yeah, we will have people plenty spaced out. We're going to limit the number of chairs that are out, and I believe both classes are going to be outside.
Yeah, that'll be a pretty popular class. Yeah. Well, both of them.
Yeah. Something that I completely forgot about. Although we haven't been here since it happened, they closed the botanical building in Balboa Park.
Right. Yep.
They're going to redo it.
They're going to restore it, and they're going to, and from what I heard, although I haven't seen the plans for it, they are going to make some additions to it to put it back, I think, put it back closer to what it was originally back in 1915. Because what's there now is only a portion of what it was for the exposition in 1915.
I thought they, I want to say, just redid it. It was probably 20 years ago.
It was probably about 20 years ago they redid it.
It didn't seem like it was that long ago. Time flies, like you said.
But yeah, so that's good. I think it's going to be closed for 2 years.
I believe I saw 2 years as well.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate because it's probably my favorite thing in Balboa Park.
Well, now we can sneak in and get the plants while no one's looking.
Well, I think they're taking all the plants out. So
we could help them with that.
Yeah. Now, if something disappears,
that's right.
Question it when they show up at your door.
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity,
that was Mark who said that.
What was it? What was it? What's there that you would like to?
No, I just remember, I haven't been in it for probably a couple of years, but I just, every time I walk through it, I look in awe at all the plants that are in there. I don't have any particular one. So if anything in particular disappears, don't look for me.
I know they had a clown fig in there at one time. I don't know if that's still there, but that was a pretty cool plant. And then for a while, they had a King Kong caryota in there that was just
huge.
Just amazing, but I think they took it out. Well, I don't know if it got too big or what.
I don't know how I got from King Kong caryota to the ficus. Is it Damaropsis that we have at what's the giant leaf?
Yeah, it's ficus. Yeah, it used to be Damaropsis kingiana, but now it's, I think it's ficus Damaropsis now.
The ones that we have at the nursery that we potted up are doing really well.
Yeah,
they look fantastic.
Yeah,
and I would not be looking for one of those. But do we still have at the Point Loma store the clown fig that there used to be sitting in a box in the back of, and
yes,
and Mark Anderson used to take cuttings, or Dale was taking,
Dale.
Somebody took cuttings off of
Dale,
them.
Dale,
is it, does that plant still exist?
Yes,
we need somebody to take cuttings air layer it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's a neat
that's
plant.
That's the plant you should be watching out for when I go by.
Okay,
the clown fig.
Yeah, if we see a big one in your backyard,
at Walter Anderson Nursery in San Diego.
Let's see the. Coming up later in the month, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, the Orchid Society is having their winter show and sale, and that's going to be in the Casa del Prado in Balboa Park. And if you haven't been to the winter show, it's usually a pretty interesting show, and there's stuff that blooms in the wintertime that you won't see at their big show in March. So it's worth going to.
Are they
take a look?
Are they going to be doing the big show in March?
I don't know. They
haven't.
I don't think they've done it for 2 years now.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't. But I haven't heard. I have not heard yet.
Okay.
So, and it's still a little early to
true
to get on the Botanical Garden Foundation website. But I'll look into it and see, and let everybody know. Bare root roses, we're trying to get them out. We've got a fairly good selection out right
yes.
now, but there's a lot
we'll
more.
Doing, we'll
there's a lot more
today.
On the way. And did we ever figure out when David Austin roses are going to be in? Because they are not here yet.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And yes, we did. Anything else I can help you with?
When are they going to be here?
They are supposed to ship next week, which means we should get them towards the end of the week because they're coming from out of state. They're going to have to be inspected and released. So hopefully for next weekend, but no
promises,
guarantees.
Yeah.
No guarantees. Yeah.
If you want David Austin roses, they are limited again this year. And just get your name on our special order list so we will hold them for you. Because if you wait till they come in, they could be gone, sold out before they actually arrive. But we do have something I'm kind of excited about, is we have more or almost more tree roses from David Austin coming in than we have bush roses.
We haven't had David Austin tree
roses. One year
before.
We got 10 or we got some limited number of them. This year we have five colors, I think, a yellow, pink, white, red, and apricot. Four or five different colors. I don't know what varieties because they just listed them by color.
By color.
And we will be getting 10 trees of each color per store. We're getting 20 trees of each, which we were shorted most of our bush roses, but we do have a few coming.
Right.
And we do have these trees coming, which I'm kind of excited about because the limited ones we got before disappeared immediately,
right,
and everybody
right,
wanted
right.
them. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I don't even remember us having them.
We had them 1 year, and we only got one variety, and we just got a few. I don't remember exactly. We may not have sent any down to Point Loma.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't remember getting them, but that doesn't – I mean, I don't remember yet.
So I got an updated shipping notice, so they're supposed to go out on Monday. So
they ship from Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully, keep our fingers crossed and see if they come in.
We'll post it on our Facebook page, too, as soon as they show up.
As far as I know, the asparagus did not arrive. The expected asparagus did not arrive. Are you pointing at a clock or something important?
Okay. No, it was just on KOSI News. They were talking about the South American palm weevil, and they showed them treating date palms.
Saying it's killing palm trees in San Diego.
Are they were they soaking it, a soil drench?
No, they were spraying it.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So. But yeah, it's amazing how many dead palm trees there are around San Diego.
Yeah.
How many dead date palms there are.
You
okay there, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. No, my folks have a big Canary Island date palm behind the house. It's been there since 1960. It was planted, or 65, and it's dead. I just noticed a month ago.
Don't stand underneath it.
I drove up to the house and looked over the house. They had it trimmed about a year ago, and the top's all dead. And I'm assuming it's the palm weevil. And as I drove around the neighborhood, the immediate palms around it were fine, but the palms just up the street off of Fuerte, there was a couple more tops were dead.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's the palm weevil.
Yep.
And they're speaking here of doing a systemic, making sure that the trees all have a systemic inside it to help fight them off before they can attack.
Yeah, and right. I had read somewhere that if you catch it, you can reverse
yes.
it.
Right.
But you need to keep an eye on the tree.
With the systemic, is there any mention of the soil drench or just a?
Well, they
spray?
Did show them. They did show them doing a soil drench
as well.
Yeah,
and that soil drench is the, well, there's a few different varieties, but it's the imidacloprid.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it persists in the soil and in the plant for up to a year. So if you have prized palms, and we're also suggesting it for agaves, right?
For the borer?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of those.
We have seen a lot of that come through,
as
too.
Well.
I have not seen that one.
Yeah.
Start planting or soaking preventively.
Correct.
Yeah. Otherwise, by the time you see what's going on, the trees are dead.
It's too late.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
We pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down. He frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing.
And we're back.
Am I still too young?
With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
And David Bowie. Don't forget David,
David
Bowie.
Can't forget David Bowie. Some of the stuff that we are already sold out of for the year, as far as fruit trees are concerned, Royal Crimson Cherries, Blackjack Fig, although we may get some of those from Monrovia later.
We will get the potted ones.
Right. Yeah. 4-in-1 Zager Pride Peach, Peach Nectarine 4-in-1 Showy Flowers, Persimmons, we are out of Chocolate, Coffee Cake, Giant Fuyu, and Izu. Although weren't they going to transfer? Oh, they got all those sold.
But we're going to get some more Fuyus from the other store on Monday. But if you are looking for Fuyu Persimmons this weekend, Walter Anderson Nursery at 3642 Enterprise Street in San Diego has some. Just don't take the ones that they're going to share with us.
Yeah, we brought 11 up on Thursday, I think, and they were gone by the end of the day after we sold out of all the original stock.
We are out of...
Oh, and Maru. I don't think we have any Marus.
Wow. We are out of Kerman and Peter Pistachios.
I think we ought to... Let's focus on what we have.
Well, we don't have enough time. Let me just finish this off.
Oh, no. You're so depressing.
4-in-1 Japanese plums. Desertnii, pomegranate.
That's a good pomegranate. Yeah.
Parfianca, pomegranate, golden muscat grape, ladyfinger grape, O'Neill blueberries. But even though that's what we're sold out of, we still have tons of other stuff to choose
from. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Tons of other stuff.
Yeah.
Tons.
And we will get more O'Neill blueberries from Monrovia later in the season.
And we may get back order stuff.
We will
at some point.
We are expecting back order material. We just don't know.
They have to clear out all their original orders first before they can get to the back orders. So
and there
they're
was
still
some,
working on that.
Something about truck drivers, blah blah blah, and so they're behind on their original orders. And after they get all the original orders, they'll start working on back orders, which will include hopefully. The back-ordered mulberries, they're on the list. We are expecting some, not a lot. And both stores, I think, are expecting some. We'll see.
Well, we got shorted a bunch of persimmons, too, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Because we had ordered, I can't remember which one, you and I were talking about it. We had one particular variety, we had ordered 40, and we only got...
No, we ordered 50, and we got 10.
We got 10.
We got shorted.
Yeah.
So, yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it
And one would think we'd kind of be in line and get these things. But the demand is
it's great, off the charts.
Yeah. Well, it just amazes me. I see people going through the checkout line with carts full. I mean, full of fruit trees.
Yes.
Of trees. And it's like, how big of a property do you have?
Exactly.
You
know,
They have been students of ours, and
they've been talking to Tom Spellman. They've come to our classes, and they're doing backyard orchard culture, and they're putting in a lot of trees in a small space.
Yeah, because I sit there and look at my backyard, and I'm like, maybe I could get one tree in there.
No.
You could put a whole bunch. You just have to be willing to prune, take ownership of pruning, as Tom Spellman says. Or you could do what I do.
With them.
Just take them home in the pots and leave them around until they die and then get new ones.
Yeah, I've done that before on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
There are 5 new ones that I also, 2 as well, purchased yesterday and left the store with when I went home.
Because of the demand last year, which was tremendous, and it wasn't until late in the season when we finally caught up with some of the potted plants and we were able to develop an inventory of potted fruit trees. But when we got the potted fruit trees, the demand had seemed to wane.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And I was worried about this bare root season because of that. I thought maybe that people had taken
maximized,
the time and planted everything. And I thought,
wrong.
We ordered a lot of trees.
Yeah.
And what happens if we go back to a normal world? But no, the demand is, last year was incredible. And the sales of trees are up about 30% over last year already.
Something like that. Yeah.
And you know, something that happens every year, it's the persimmons that go first.
Yeah. We cannot keep persimmons in stock
when we get bare root.
I don't understand that. It's a very strange phenomenon.
And they're not to get into it, but they're sort of in the high end of the price spectrum of
they're a little pricier than the rest for
bare fruit trees.
I got a call from a guy that he had looked at his receipt when he got home and said, "Oh, I was charged for a potted persimmon." I go, "Let me see," and I looked it up in the system, and no, that's what I think they have a high attrition rate.
They do when they're
propagating them.
Yeah,
and so it makes each tree, if you get half of what you propagate, it doubles the cost of the trees, and so
they're more valuable.
Yeah,
and the Izu variety, actually on the tag from Dave Wilson, says that it's, or that we have out, says that it has a high attrition rate. Essentially, when you plant it, it's hard to start from bare root.
So what Tom Spellman told me is when you plant a persimmon tree, you soak it one time. When you put it into the ground, you soak the heck out of it, and then don't water it again until leaves come out, unless we have a really hot, dry winter like we did last year, and then you may have to water once or twice more. But probably a month apart between waterings, because if they stay too moist, it will kill them, and they won't come out. So you'll soak them. This year, with the rain that we've had, if we get any kind of rain over the next month,
let it kill.
And the temperatures stay seasonal, then you just plant them in the ground, soak them one time,
and walk away
until you see leaves. That's
good.
And that's hard for people to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just put this in, I need to water it.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I said soak, I was telling a customer this the other day, when I said you soak it once, they thought I take it home and I put it in a bucket of water or a trash can and I soak the tree before I plant it. And no, that's not what I mean. Once it's planted, soak the soil and then leave it alone. Okay. Are we all good with that?
We are good with that. That's actually the advice we hand when we.
You know, the other bare root trees that have a really high, really high attrition rate, hence we don't carry them bare root anymore, are walnuts and pecans.
Pecans.
Yeah. Those are two tough trees to.
We leave that to the professionals.
Yeah. Yes. They are tough. They are tough to do.
The pecan tree I have at my house in PQ was from a seed. Put a seed in the ground, in a pot rather, and then put it in the ground, and it's been producing for years and years and years.
There's a huge pecan tree up at Grand Traditions in Fallbrook. Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, really, really pretty tree. But it's massive.
There are quite a few seedlings at my folks' house that are probably 40, 50 feet tall now, and then when the wind blows, pecans end up on the driveway, and then right now the flocks of parrots are coming around and making a ton of noise, and they are messy. They crack the shells and drop a boatload of nuts on the driveway for me to go collect.
They don't clean them up?
No, they don't go down the
ground. They just
keep flying around them to different trees.
They don't put them in the compost bin for you?
No.
That's horrible.
No.
You need to train them better.
But they're very good and prolific from seed.
You know where they
are?
You know where they grow, and I didn't realize this until I went up there and did some looking around a few years ago. You know where they grow a lot of walnuts is Paso Robles. They had a lot of the vineyards in Paso Robles were originally walnut orchards.
I thought you were going to say the Central Valley and Lemoore. When I was stationed in Lemoore, they were everywhere.
Yeah. Walnut, yes.
Everywhere.
But it was kind of interesting. They most of the vineyards that had been walnut orchards prior to that left some of the walnut trees, and a lot of the vineyards are organically grown, or they organically grow the grapes, so the walnuts are organically grown too. So you go into the tasting room and they have bags of organically grown walnuts. They're like $10 or $15 a pound and they're shelled, so you're not paying for the weight of the shell. But then you go out to the parking lot and there's walnut trees in the parking lot, and there's there's organically grown walnuts laying all over the parking lot. Yeah.
So, I'd fill my pockets.
Just pick up a few there before you head out.
Just trying to help out.
Yeah.
Just cleaning up.
Yeah. But that, you know, walnuts and pecans, that's actually a really pretty tree, too.
They are.
With the pinnate foliage on them. And the pecans with it's really glossy foliage, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very pretty tree.
My folks used to have a walnut tree. And I remember going over and picking the walnuts, and while they were on the tree, they had still had the husk on them,
mm-hmm.
right.
But they had that husk fly larva that got in there and eats the outside of the husk, and it turns into just this gooey black mess, and so I would be stained up. It was I'm okay with that tree being gone at this point.
We have family that live up in Placerville, and one of my cousin's friends property that she lived on was an old walnut orchard, and the trees naturalized in the area because they would get so much snow or rain during the wintertime, so it wasn't a problem. But the walnuts would produce and they would fall off, and they used to love to get the walnuts, but they didn't mow the grass under the trees anymore, so they would just go and stomp around barefoot until they stepped on a walnut and they'd reach down and pick it up. But their feet would turn black from the husks of the walnuts. So just an interesting little side story.
Yes. it sounds almost like as much fun as walking around on liquid amber.
I think it's a little bit different.
Is it different?
I love liquid ambers, but man, I'm glad I don't have the one in my backyard anymore. It just got to be too much of a mess.
Messy, yeah.
But if you want fall color,
or just fall foliage,
that's the we don't sell anywhere near the number of liquid ambers that we used to.
Well, and people aren't growing near the numbers,
right?
No, that's
true. We used
to
have 1 gallon, 5 gallon, 15 gallon grafted, 3, 4, 5 varieties,
right?
Yeah,
and then
seedlings too.
Rarely.
Is that due to the scorch? Or is it just falling out of favor?
I think it's just
one of those things that it's fell out of favor.
Not enough transplants anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to dig up one of our old
people.
I know what you mean. Everyone that comes in says, my neighbors down the street have a maple tree and I want to put one in. Like, do you sell them? And then you show them that this is probably the tree that you're speaking of.
Yeah.
I'll have to dig up one of our old catalogs from the 60s and bring it in, and we can see what's changed since that time. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
May I just real quickly?
Yes, please.
I have been told we've been a little downy this morning. So we're not old. We're great. We're feeling good. We have corrective measures for the palm trees, and we want everybody to be full of vim and vigor in 2022. And we're going to have the second half of this show be totally different than the first half.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm okay. Any questions, give us a call.
thanks for your support.
Yeah. We're here for you.
Okay.
There was a a very brief article in the newsletter about avocados that you wrote.
Gems.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Martin. Them?
What is it?
Gray E. Martin.
I thought you said Ray, and I thought that didn't start with a G. Well, our supplier, there's one company we get Gem avocados from, which is, one more time, Gem.
Gem stands for Gray E. Martin.
Those
He's
are
the
his
gentleman,
initials.
Yeah, the gentleman that helped develop it.
The hybridizer.
Right.
And it is a very popular variety because it is precocious, which means it develops and produces at a young age, and is very fruitful in a small space as well, correct? Or am I just making that
latter part? That's a small space when I didn't know. So
okay. Yeah. Well, if it produces a lot when it's young, then it will produce in a small space.
In the beginning, anyway.
I'm going to go with that story.
Do we still have some?
We do still have some. And this is these are the only ones that are going to be available to us until fall.
Like August. Well, you have August of 22 in the
article. That's almost fall.
Yeah. It's getting close.
Yeah. So if you want a Gem avocado, I still have one sitting in a pot from when we got him last year, and it's still alive. So this, you know what? I'm going to plant it in 2022.
That's that attaboy.
Thank you.
Which reminds me, I need to go check the two that I planted last year, because I modified my sprinkler system so that I didn't have to go water them by hand. But I'll have to have to see if they are still with us.
You know, Ken, when we talk to people about their automatic watering sprinklers, we suggest that maybe once a month they go out and interface with them and they check them out while they're operating to make sure they're operating.
Well, I usually do, but it's been raining, so they've been shut off.
Oh, okay. You're just talking short term, like for a month.
Just short term.
Oh, okay.
You're fine.
Then I withdraw my admonition to you.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, my last water bill was the cheapest water bill I've had in months.
I love just
rearranging the timing and shutting it off if there's any kind of rain, shutting it off. I mean, it made a huge difference.
I love wet January, February, March water bills.
But you know, one of the things that if you've ever listened to the show and we talk about rain is don't forget to water your potted plants, especially if they're under a porch or an overhang. And during the holidays when it was raining, I felt funny because I was outside with a hose. It was pouring. I mean, pouring rain off the roof, but I was watering all these big potted plants that are on the porch that get zero rain.
That makes perfect sense.
It does, but it's
you listen to those guys on the radio.
Occasionally I do, but it seems so odd to be out there with a hose and it's pouring around you.
You are kind of odd.
You can just slide them out into the rain.
So, you know, I would do that if it wasn't a porch that was elevated and there were big, massive pots.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't want to do that. Yeah. That would not be good.
Not at your age.
Not at my age.
Oh, whoops. Wait. No. I take it back. Remember, it's 2022 and we're not talking old anymore.
Oh, no, you have to. You always have to have that banter.
Well, not on the rest of this show.
You'll get it to me later today.
Yes, sir.
I'll get back with you later.
Okay. What else did you find over there?
I'm looking.
Have you guys done your fruit tree pruning in your yards?
No.
Yes. And sprayed the oil. I haven't done the copper yet.
Seriously? Way to go.
New Year's Day, I pruned the trees, and then the Monday following, I sprayed, including the roses.
Yeah, I haven't.
You pruned back your roses already?
Yep.
Okay.
I haven't pruned.
I haven't done that yet.
I haven't done anything.
I'm not letting this year get away like last year. So.
Well, see, my apricot tree is just rootstock, so I don't have to do.
Well, you can graft.
You can
cut, spray, and then graft. I know where I can get you some Scion wood.
Yeah, that's usually not too hard to find. But it's got a really nice shape to it. It's at the end of the pool. I was going to take it out, but Melanie wanted to leave it in.
I have done none of my needed work. I do rip up two or three hands full of weeds every morning to give to the chickens, and that's my weeding work for the day.
So you feel good about something. That. You're accomplishing something.
And I've gotten in three really good hikes already this year. That was, you know, having Saturday off, having New Year's and Christmas be on Saturdays were extra wonderful for my three-day weekends.
Well, good.
For the new year, three hikes, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, when we were talking about avocados, my folks have a holiday avocado planted in their side yard. It's not a huge tree, but the fruit on it.
Enormous.
It's massive.
Yes.
They're huge avocados. So that's, you may not get as many avocados, but the avocados that you get are going to make up for the lack of quantity just because of the size.
But now that is a smaller tree, right, David? That one is more suitable
for
container gardening if
you
need to.
Kind of.
Yeah. Right.
But what surprises people about the gem, the holiday avocado and the Reed, those big round avocados, take almost 18 months to ripen. So the flowers of this spring won't ripen until the following summer. So people need to be patient and realize that the tree's going to bloom again before the fruit is ripe. And Mr. Allman, I have a suggestion for you.
Uh-oh.
Perhaps you could put out buckets and collect the rainwater then pour it on the plants so that you're not standing out there with the hose in a rainstorm.
Fair enough. I actually have buckets that collect some of the rain, but they still have to be watered.
The buckets do?
No, the plants.
No, the plants do. That.
Well, with the buckets of rainwater.
Sometimes it can't wait. You have to.
Sometimes they need to be watered right then.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head down to Chula Vista where Alan is waiting. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. Interesting listening to you guys in the morning, even though you think nobody's listening. But anyway, when you guys mentioned walnuts, it generated a phone call to you. I grew up in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the favorite things I remember doing with my folks and my siblings was that they had black walnuts growing along the roadside on country roads. Mm-hmm. And we used to go out and harvest those. And harvesting them, just gathering them, is the easy part. The tough part is getting that black coating and that shell off the outside until you get down to the actual nut itself.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yep.
And then my dad was a railroader, so he had a ball peen hammer, and he used to show us how to do it, and then he'd let us do all the heavy work on it. But then you have to use a nut pick to get those out of the shell. They're nothing like an English walnut. They're much harder to harvest, and then of course the nut meat inside isn't quite as much as an English walnut. But I just wonder, have you guys seen anything like that on the market? The ones that I remember were vines that grew along the road.
A walnut vine?
Yeah. Unless it was meant to be a tree and they just spread out into a vine, I'm not sure. They grew wild.
That's interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen
trees.
Anything like that.
Right.
Have we had black walnuts before?
I think we have gotten some from Moosa.
Okay.
And there is
the natives?
There is... At one of the trailheads that at McGinty, there is a walnut down in the creek, and it does not look like our domestic walnuts. And I harvested some a year or two ago. And what was the name? The Duke Walnut Cracker.
Oh, that.
Yeah, the gear-operated one.
That works really well, and it's designed
for
walnuts.
Black, it's for black. I thought it was specifically for black walnuts.
Yes. But what do we use it for?
Macadamias.
It's a great macadamia cracker.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Well, what part of Nebraska, Alan, did you come from?
Lincoln.
Okay. Both of my grandparents came from Bolas, which is
Bolas. Right. I remember talking to your dad.
Yeah, right outside of St. Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you mentioned the Nutcracker. It's called a Duke Nutcracker.
It's Duke Manufacturing Company, and they make a lever action walnut cracker, and it's great for I use it for macadamias. It's
as
perfect for that.
Yeah, it's a heavy duty unit for sure.
So you'd have to be a real diehard to get equipped for doing that kind of thing, I suppose.
It takes up a good chunk of the house. It looks like it should be, if your dad was a railroader, it looks like it should be in the railroad yard doing some kind of maintenance for a train.
Probably bending rails.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's a solution for that. I happen to find them at Walmart. I've got a bag in front of me here, and you're supposed to refrigerate them until you use them. For anybody that's interested, it's a 12-ounce bag, and it was expensive, almost $8.
Wow.
I don't know what the price is now.
Wow. Yeah.
With inflation, they're probably going to be closer to 10. But anyway, it makes black walnut fudge that's just out of this world. And I remember as a kid, we would help harvest the nuts, and then my mother would make black walnut fudge once a week.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
And it was just a fun family activity, and one of those things you look back at.
Yeah, what a great memory.
Yeah, it is. It is. Do you have any suggestions on resources to look just for information on the black walnuts? Do you guys have anything like that?
Right now, I do not believe we do. But if you would like to come in or give either of the store, well, I guess the San Diego store would be closer to you, they can try and order them for you. I think they are available. I'm just not sure. I think Musa had them.
But you're not sure whether it's a vine or a tree?
Well, no, it's not a vine. It's not a vine. I haven't seen a walnut vine.
Musa Creek does have the black walnut. The was it Junglands, Californica?
Yeah.
And there is, they could be espaliered. So somebody could, I've seen them grown low and wide, but it's still not a soft tissue. It's a hard walnut wood tree. But I've seen them grown on a fence or that type of
growth habit.
Yeah, growth habit.
Okay. Yeah, the fruit itself is probably about the size. It's smaller than a golf ball, and they're great. It's a green skin on the outside, and then you break through that with a pair of my dad's gloves. We'd work off that black coating that gets down to the nut. And then you get rid of all the mess and everything, and then you have to deal with cracking the shell.
Cracking the shell, yeah.
Right. You know, for kids, it was a lot of fun. It's a great memory for me. And anyway, just kind of curious when you guys mentioned walnut.
Yeah, when you're done, Alan, check out Musa Creek's website, Moosa Creek, and in your search criteria, put Musa Creek and black walnut, and you'll get a hit.
All right, good deal. I'll do that.
Alan, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Fran, stay on the line. We will be talking to you when we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
You know, you're yelling over the music. I mean, it sounds like it. I don't know if you actually are or not.
I feel like we should say groovy or something.
Super cool.
Super cool. It's the age of Aquarius.
Yes, we should. Go ahead and say it.
Groovy, man.
Groovy.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go up to Vista, where Fran is waiting. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I was listening to you saying that you were taking care of your trees, the fruit trees, and pruning them, and then doing the roses. So my question to you on the roses, so could you explain the steps that we would take to prepare the, like cutting them back, what to spray on them, and so forth?
Yes. You get your pruners. You go out into the garden. You cut the roses, removing dead and dying and crossing canes. And then after you get done pruning them, per the directions in how to prune fruit trees and roses that you will acquire at Walter Anderson Nursery for only $10.99, and it'll give you pictures of what to cut out. And then after you have finished pruning each rose and cleaning up the debris around the base, you're going to spray them with copper because in California we can't get lime sulfur anywhere anymore. And then you're going to put down some Grow Power soil conditioner, some Ada Perry's magic formula for roses, and one other fertilizer of your choice, and start the new season for your roses.
That was pretty detailed, but do you do any kind of oils besides the copper?
You know, I generally do not. Okay. However, I saw a lot of scale on one of my
customers' roses a couple of years ago. I've never thought to spray oil on roses.
Yeah. Now, Fran, let me offer you this. If that was too quick for you, Saturday next week, a week from today at 9:30 in Poway, we have a class with Celeste from E.B. Stone, is going to be teaching roses, and everything David just said she'll do in detail.
Oh, that's great. I missed that part completely, and I do have the pruning book that you guys got back going again, and I had the original book, and both of them are just delightful to read, even if you don't have the trees that are in the books. It's fun to see how you prune different ways for different trees, and roses are the same thing. So thank you, guys. I'll be there next Saturday for sure at 9:30.
Okay,
perfect.
Great.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You
thanks
too.
Thank
very
you,
much. Fran. Happy New Year, Fran. You know, I looking at you, George, because you set me up. You gave me Google Eyes to go ahead and talk to Fran, and as soon as I got done talking to Fran, you said, well, you know, that was not worth listening to. I'm paraphrasing here. Come next week.
You don't have to paraphrase. It's exactly what I said. I said, if you didn't grasp that, it was too quick for you, because you covered it perfectly, but it was very quick. And if she wasn't taking notes, perhaps she didn't have a pen handy. She had her hands around a warm cup of coffee.
Well, since this is the new and happy half of the show for 2022, exactly. I'm going to let it go at that and tuck my feathers back in and go forward.
There we go.
Well, you know, who was it that was saying they didn't think about spraying oil on the plants?
Dave.
That was standard operating procedure.
Yes, it was.
Volk oil and lime sulfur.
Okay. Correct.
I totally agree. Do you know how many times I sprayed lime or Volk oil on a rose bush?
Three.
I guess
zero.
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 That's close.
Yeah. Well, but I did. I did as a good horticulturist. I purchased Volk oil and took it home.
Okay.
I probably still have some.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I guess
what
still
I did
have
is
it,
when I was pruning all the fruit trees, I walked past the roses, cut those back, and then I had the oil out because I sprayed everything, so I hit them.
And all day long had good luck.
And all day long, I had.
I agree. We should do that because I did see a lot of scale on those roses.
And here's why I did it, though. This
I've
time.
Never seen scale on roses.
I was kind of surprised.
I was cutting the roses back, and a couple of them still had some nice rosebuds that were getting ready to open, but they were covered in aphids. And so when I cut everything back, I just hit oil on it.
And the oil will take care of all the
overwintering stuff. Insects, ideally.
Yes. Yes.
If properly applied. Applied.
Yes.
Well, as I recall, back in the day, you actually mixed Volk oil and lime sulfur
lime
together.
Sulfur, yes.
And then did it all at once.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Well, no, not you.
We're talking regular.
But that's what we would tell people to do.
Correct.
And I think
I can hear Phil Johnson still telling people.
Well, you know, the thing, whenever we talk about lime sulfur, Ken, you always say, well, you know, if your trees are not defoliated, just spray because they will. But that's with lime sulfur, not with the stuff
we
use now.
The copper stuff
you're going to keep the leaves on board.
But yeah, lime sulfur would strip them pretty fast. God, it's been so long since I've seen a bottle of Volk oil, but I think there were instructions on that for mixing malathion with
it,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a concoction.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wasn't it malathion that somebody in this state drank on stage to show that?
No,
it
was DDT.
DDT, wasn't it?
I think it was eating powdered. I think it was eating powdered DDT out of a box.
Well,
we've talked about it before, but when you look at malathion, is actually a very safe insecticide. Because
when
you get
used properly,
when used properly, because what you get in the bottle is only 50%. And so, you only use 1 or 2 teaspoons per gallon of water, and so I mean it's really, really dilute by the time you put it out, but right. it's the smell of it that gets to most
people.
That's
what drives the bugs away.
It's probably
there's no other chemical reaction. It's the scent.
It's the smell of it. It has that typical organophosphate smell.
That is
to
strong.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really strong. So yeah, we had some tenants one time in one of our rentals that would spray. They had pets, and they would spray their entire yard for fleas with malathion. It just took a few days for it to
dissipate.
Yeah, but yeah, it's an outstanding insecticide. And I know there used to be there was a chemical company called Cook chemical.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember my grandfather always recommended for staghorn ferns, for scale and other stuff on staghorns, malathion, but use the cook malathion because the cook malathion was water-based.
Water-based.
And it didn't, it did not, it wasn't oil-based.
Right.
Well, so, speaking of stinky sprays, what I used to use back in the day was the Valent powdered orthene.
Oh, yes. And that stuff was bad news.
Brutal, yes.
It was bad news. It was great. It was a great systemic, but man, it was bad news.
And even though I had never sprayed horticultural oil on roses, I am a firm believer and user on horticultural oil for
fruit trees.
Citrus. Well, citrus especially.
That is a fruit tree, so I was correct.
Yeah, that's pretty much my go-to for just about everything.
It is. It's particularly for scale. I think it's one of the best things for scale.
Yeah. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.